This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station with Dale Gentry and friends, calling America to pray, a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you, Tom, and good Wednesday morning, everybody. Good to have you listening on BPNradio.com. You're on the Wednesday Watch, your 24-hour internet prayer station, broadcasting live from our studios here in Austin, Texas. Around the clock, around the globe, Dale Gentry, your host, and we're keeping the fire burning on the altar, keeping the watch of the Lord according to 2 Chronicles 23:6, which says, "And all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord." Jesus himself told us to watch and pray, so here we are at Prayer Central. And remember, this program will be replayed this afternoon, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 10 o'clock, and will be on our iPod schedule in the next few days. You can go to our iPods by going to bpnradio.com and just click on iPods. We have hundreds of broadcast interviews, programs. Remember, the views and opinions of those on this broadcast, any of our programs here on bpnradio.com, may or may not be the views of Breakout Prayer Network. BPN Radio is not responsible for any counsel or prophetic words given on this broadcast, but we're delighted that you are listening this morning on this cold, rainy morning in Austin, Texas. This program is produced by Michael Schonborn, edited by Leona Perchuka, and supported by you, our loyal listeners, partners, and friends. So let's pray, America. I'm delighted to have here in the studio with me today my doctor, one of my spiritual sons here with me as we pray for those in the medical field today. And I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. But first of all, I want to welcome churches and cities all across America and around the world. And we now have 932 cities that are a part of the Breakout Prayer Network that I started in 1996 after leading prayer at the White House. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And we are delighted now that we have 1,414 churches that are represented in the Breakout Prayer Network. I want to mention a few of those. Welcome, because we have some new churches that have joined us. And I've never heard of this kind of church, but I welcome you, Burgers and Bibles Ministry in Richmond, Virginia. Oh, that's wow. That's wow. Matt's House Church in Baltimore, Maryland. And Hillcrest Baptist Church, Manchester, Tennessee. The Sanctuary Worship Center, Chelsea, Oklahoma. Brooks Baptist Church in Brooks, New York. United Methodist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. The First Baptist Church in Ashburn, Georgia. The Marietta Vineyard Church in Marietta, Georgia. Want to welcome Foothills Church in Seneca, South Carolina. Also want to welcome the Greystone Baptist Church there in Greenville, Tennessee. I want to welcome Hope Lutheran Church, Melbourne, Florida, as well as Port City Community Church, Wilmington, North Carolina, New Heights Church, Vancouver, Washington, and I want to welcome the Rutledger Outpost Cowboy Church in Lewisburg, Kansas, St. Joseph's Church, Big Bear Lake, California. Welcome to BPNradio.com, calling America to pray. And today we are calling America to pray for those in the medical field. So I'm delighted to have in the studios today Dr. Kevin Lewis, who is my doctor, by the way, and he's my special guest today. He currently serves as a family physician here in Austin. Dr. Lewis was born and raised here in Austin, Texas. He attended the University of North Texas, graduated cum laude with a major in biology, minor in chemistry. He then graduated with a medical degree from the University of North Texas Health Science Center at Fort Worth, Texas. He's the medical director for True Care Pregnancy Center and is certified in office-based opioid addiction treatment. Serves as the president for the Texas Osteopathic Medical Association District 7. In addition, Dr. Lewis is a licensed ringside physician with Texas Combative Sports and often volunteers for local sporting events. He's passionate about medical missions and regularly leads teams to Peru and Haiti. He and his wife, Michelle, have two children. Welcome, Dr. Kevin Lewis, to BPN Radio today.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. You have a great radio voice as well. And I'm thankful for God putting me into your life, and I'm very honored. And I certainly honor those in the medical field. We know there's a lot of challenges when you are treating people in the medical field. But so we want to pray for them, pray for you and them today as well. Tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get into medicine, and why did you go into medicine? That's a big commitment.
Well, I was born here in Austin, Texas, and I'm actually a third-generation physician. My great-great-grandfather was a family physician in the panhandle of Texas, and then my dad practiced medicine in Austin from the day I was born, 1977. And so I was kind of grew up around it, enjoyed it, and admired what my dad did, helping people, come to turn out through my spiritual growth after becoming a doctor, it really coincides with the gifts that God gave me with, having a desire to help people and bless people. My initial choice was I just really admired what my father did and the fact that he's able to help so many people that are in desperate need at desperate times and help them get through that. And I saw that. I really admired it. And so that was my initial motivation. And it kind of started there. And then as I went through school, college, just kind of excelled in math and science and all the things necessary to get to where I'm at. And God blessed me along the way and allowed me to get through medical school and have a practice, and just been going since then.
That's great. Tell us how you became a Christian.
Well, very first time I committed my life to the Lord, I was 7 years old, and I can remember it was in the living room of my parents' house, and we had gone to a vacation Bible church or study or something like that during the summer, and I remember sitting on the floor at my parents' feet as they were watching TV, and I started asking them questions, and as the questions proceeded, they started to realize what was happening. I think they turned the TV off, and we all sat there and talked, and committed my life to the Lord at seven. After that, I started going through my teenage years and kind of got a little bit away from complete direction with God and being connected with Him, and recommitted at 15. And so at 15 years old, I had a recommitment with what I think is a complete and full understanding of what I was doing, or a more mature understanding of the decision I was making. So I kind of consider that my salvation date, 15.
Well, I know that being a doctor is a major commitment, but you weren't blindsided, because you had a grandfather and a father in the medical field, so you chose that route.
That's right. It wasn't something I was taken by surprise with. I kind of knew what to expect, and I'm glad I chose it. God has definitely been able to use the gifts He's given me to glorify Him through this profession. So that's the number one thing.
That's great. One of the men that impacted my life in my early years was Oral Roberts, founder of Oral Roberts University and City of Faith. And he said that we can mix medicine and faith together, medicine and prayer together. How does that work in your practice?
Wow. I mean, how does it not work? Or how does it work without it would be a better question. God's our creator, and whether people realize that or not, as they're going through their process, whether that be disease or hurt or depression or anxiety, I just don't see a way to address that without incorporating the creator. So in my practice, I often will share with patients, I'll ask them what their faith background is. Majority of the time, still in this part of the country and in the world, people have been involved at a church or grew up in a church or have gone to church, which is a good segue into asking them if they believe in the power of prayer. And if they do, oftentimes we'll pray with our patients. And most recently, as you know from our discussions outside of the studio here, is God has planted a seed of a prayer room, which we're real excited about to see that unfold. And that'll simply just be for additional healing. It's easy as a physician for somebody to come in and we take care of, check their vitals, do testing, examine them, figure out what's physically wrong with them. But along with those physical elements, there's often many spiritual and psychological things going on that don't get addressed in a maybe a run-of-the-mill or regular physician's office. Mm-hmm. And not to glorify my office, it's just to glorify the need that we have as humans for spiritual, psychological, emotional, and physical healing.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we definitely are. We are a triune being. We are spirit, soul, and body. It's amazing that you have a prayer room and your new clinic. You also not only have your regular practice there, but you also have urgent care, where people are coming in with trauma or. You know, I remember Jean coming one time when she had a sweet potato fall off of the shelf and on her foot, and she was in extreme pain. And so, I mean, you guys are seeing a lot of patients every day in your family practice there, as well as the urgent care center that you have there in your medical clinic. I mean, how do you cope with all of the suffering and the pain and the stress that you see people under? How do you cope with that from day to day?
Well, when I, that's a great question. When I first started my practice independently 10 years ago, I felt like a child. Opened the doors to my private practice, and I started to get burned out. I was working 6 days a week. I was medical director of a clinic up in North Austin. I was driving up there one day a week and working at two clinics. One of them was not mine. I was working out of my dad's family medicine clinic, and then driving out to my clinic. And I really wasn't equipped with the amount of burden that I was taking on a daily basis. Plus the hours. The hours were one thing. I can get past that just through sheer will and determination, I think. But I was getting loaded down by... What I didn't realize was I was taking on some of the burdens of my patients, spiritually and emotionally. And, there was a revelation that I had over a month period after joining the church that we've been at for about, 4 or 5 years now. And actually even before that, and it just got expounded upon while going through some discipleship programs at our church. But, being a physician... And having the knowledge to practice medicine is one thing, but being a physician and realizing that it's your gift and it's why it's your ministry here on earth changes their perspective. So when I started to realize that, my job got even more enjoyable. It got more rewarding, and it became something where I wasn't really taking on people's burdens as much as I was just being a vessel for God each day. And making sure that, at the end of the day, when I'm done, that I'm looking at my patients and my practice from his perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's more than just having patients. There's a lot of doctors out there, as well as pastors and ministers, that, they've become somewhat hardened or calloused because they see so many problems going on every day. But it's a blessing when we can have a doctor like yourself. I'm glad to have a doctor that is very open and very compassionate. And I believe that is there's a danger in the medical science for doctors becoming kind of calloused, indifferent to their patients, maybe trying to run them in, run them out. So it's whether we're preaching or whether we're doing medicine, whatever we're doing, it's about people, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And the reality is it's all about the soul. I mean, we have physical ailments, physical diseases that are in definite need of modern medicine and technology and science. But too often, at least historically, even myself, I wasn't really looking at where somebody's at psychologically, where are they at spiritually. And so when we're able to culminate all of these areas of somebody's position and where they're at in life and address those and be a bold but soft and caring vessel to kind of express that with a patient, I've never had a patient decline prayer in a room.
It's amazing.
And, it's a definite healing process, and that's what's been excited about this prayer room that God mm-hmm. put into my heart, that in my brain, I was like, that's impossible. But there's a story behind that we can get into in a little bit when you're ready.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I've got several questions, and I know that that our time is limited today, but I have never heard of a clinic that has all sorts of medical facilities and offices that right in the middle of it has a prayer room. And you and I have been praying there now for some time, and it's still a work in progress, I know, but kind of share a little bit about how you put a prayer room in your new clinic where there's so many different medical practices and facilities and actually put in there with no opposition. So, but how did God put that in your heart to have a prayer room?
Yeah, it's an amazing story. It gets me excited when I talk about it, and even strengthens my faith and belief in God's plan for all of our lives if we'll step out and listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us, and just do things that don't make sense to us, but mm-hmm. that God has something that you can't even imagine 20 steps down the road. It started, I would guess, about almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. I had an idea, or I'd, you know, been praying with patients since I started my clinic. Not every patient, but the ones that I felt led and mm-hmm. who accepted and wanted to have some prayer. And mm-hmm. and then I had recently had several patients in about a 3-month period that developed cancer, and prayer had become kind of a regular thing for us as I'd see them in the clinic for their checkups. And I had I guess God gave me what I refer to this, it may sound strange, as a spiritual smell, an idea of, man, it would be nice to have a room where I could send people after we're done, where they could get continued prayer. Because a lot of people just don't have connections in the community. They maybe don't have family here, or their family's disconnected from them, or they don't have a church family, or they don't feel like there's anybody they can trust or to go to for prayer. And so God put this idea in my heart, and so I want to give Him all the credit. I haven't really done anything except be obedient in some of the cases here. But He put the idea. And then I spoke with my pastor, Ross Parsley of One Chapel, about it, and he loved the idea. I mean, who wouldn't, you know, love the idea of a prayer room for healing? Mm-hmm. I mean, except the devil, you know. And so, long story short, some time went by. I shared it with him, and we prayed about it a little bit, and then I kind of forgot about it. Life got busy with kids and work, and then the Holy Spirit prompted me again, hey, what about this prayer room? And so I made a couple phone calls and did some research in our building, and I even thought about giving up one of my exam rooms and turning it into a living room atmosphere where people could come and get prayed for. And you know, my initial insecurity was, God, if I do that, I'm losing an exam room, and, you know, that's a financial issue and staffing issue. And so long story short, God told me, He said, get in touch with the management of the building. So I get in touch with the management of the building, and I say, here's my idea. And, you know, I don't know where these guys are in their faith. I know them pretty well. They're great guys. I just haven't had any kind of in-depth conversations with them about where they're at spiritually. And tell them my idea, and they're like, their first response was, what about the storage closet on the third floor? And I said, oh, yeah, I forgot about that storage closet. Mm-hmm. And I knew about it as we were building the building, but had forgotten about it. It was supposed to be a locker room with showers for the physicians in the building, and that had been changed, and it got turned into this storage closet. And so I said, well, guys, and they're like, you can use it. And I said, well, what's the rent going to be? And they said, well, there's no rent. It's just a storage closet. And I said, well, we need to make sure all the people in the building are okay with that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want it to be a surprise to any of the tenants. Long story short, we asked everybody in the building, and everybody agreed that no problem. We didn't need to change the rent structure for all the other spaces. And so we've got about, what would you say it is, about 500 square feet. Mm-hmm. And it's on the third floor, which I think is neat, the top of the floor. It's comfortable. It's got a presence already. The Holy Spirit's worked in that place. And so Now we have a prayer room that is sponsored by a church. I believe we're going to have some businesses sponsored, some corporate sponsors. I don't know why God keeps telling me that, but I'll voice it because I've felt that. He spoke to me in that regard, and we've got a church backing us, and we're, you know, just a few steps from getting this thing active and running.
Well, it's exciting. You know, we are not exactly in the Bible Belt in Austin. Some places in Texas and the Southwest consider Austin pretty liberal. So it's amazing that there's been no opposition from other medical offices and practices concerning the prayer room. And I've been up there praying with you. I'm excited because that's what we're all about. We believe the hope of our nation is prayer. And it's wonderful, Dr. Kevin Lewis, to see a medical doctor that is mixing his medical practice, medicine and faith, with prayer. And I'm excited about that. And I know that you have taken... you've taken your practice outside of the four walls of Austin, Texas, and you have gone to other nations with your medical gift. Tell us about some of your missionary journeys or your missionary outreaches.
So, to give a little history, my wife and I, when I was in residency, I was finishing my intern year, which they've passed some new laws and the hours are not as stringent, but when I was doing my intern year, every third day you would do a what they call 24-hour call, which turned out to be usually about a 35-hour call, and you're at the hospital working for 35 straight hours, and you go in about 5 a.m., get off about noon or 1 the next day or two, and you go home basically, and you've got your second wind, but you don't feel like doing anything. And so I'd been through that for a year with my wife, and then you know, usually about 12 hours, 15-hour days when you're not on call. And we were in church at our home church here in Austin when I was in residency. And there was a team that got up and spoke about a missions trip that they were planning to Peru in August or September. And I initially felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to go on that. And I turned to my wife and I said, Michelle, I think we need to talk about this. And she did not have a happy look on her face. I'd had no vacation time, started in January, and I'd had no time off except for maybe one Saturday or two Saturdays a month or until this planned time. And it was against all odds that we were going to be able to go on that first trip as well, because you were not allowed to take more than 1 week of your paid time off as a resident, because it made the scheduling for call. It made the scheduling for the hospital really difficult. Mm-hmm. So I went to my program director. We prayed about it. Went to my program director, and he approved it. And so that was I was like, wow, that's approved. So now we got to raise money. So then we started raising money, and we're worried about that. And, of course, when you're doing what God has kind of asked you to do, you don't have to worry about the rest. The money was raised with a little extra. And so we went to Peru for the first time in 2007 and started doing some children's ministry, and then we'd also do some medical ministry in the Amazon jungle. And I think I've been on a total of 6 trips. Michelle's been with me 4 of those trips, I believe, and Michelle's my wife. And it was just a neat thing to watch her on that first trip. She really did not want to spend our only vacation time the entire year, and we spent both weeks of the PTO going to Peru. But when we got to that first village and she saw all the kids and just got to experience some of the love and need that was there, it was an immediately change. I could see the joy in her. She was exhausted, I was exhausted, but I could see the joy in her face. And so that's how it started, and we continued to go back there for a while, and then Haiti as well. I've been to Haiti a few times. One of my best friends, Benjamin Brown, and his wife adopted 2 beautiful kids from Haiti, and that process took about a little over 3 years, and we went down there and checked out all the kids in the orphanage and did physicals on them and tried to organize their medical closet and make sure they were taken care of. So that's been the main things we've been involved in.
Well, taking your medical practice, your medical profession, and your gifts, your talents and abilities to other nations is is very complimentary. And, you know, Gene and I have traveled to many different nations of the world and ministered over the past 30 years. But and that includes Africa and some very remote places. But we have to say that Haiti is a true mission field. I have never, ever experienced poverty or the way of life for the Haitian people. When I went away from Haiti for the first time, got to go there, there was about 1,500 pastors and leaders that joined us there, several of my friends, and just went away with just knowing that that is a whole different way of life, a completely way, a different way of life. And I salute you for going down to Haiti and taking your gift there, because there's a lot of needs in many different parts of the world, and so many people have never been out. Some people have never been out of their city. I forgot what the figure was about people that's not even been out of New York City. They spent their whole life in New York City. A lot of people have never been out of America. When you come back to America, you say, thank God for America. And so a lot of people don't realize the conditions that so many people live in. I know I talked to a missionary from Haiti not long ago, and she told me that the part of Haiti that she was going to, there was only one doctor in like 160,000 people. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's tough to believe. When I landed on the ground and got boots on the ground for the first time in Haiti, of course, I was with my childhood friend and best friend, and so he was well-traveled in areas like that. And so he had everything lined up and all the security and everything. But it's amazing sight mm-hmm. to see, and it'll reset your perspective of our lives in yeah. full and how blessed we are here in America.
Oh, wow.
And it's a necessity. I was talking with my wife. We are, I think, planning a trip for our daughter Eliana mm-hmm. and my wife and I to head down to Haiti or back to Peru here mm-hmm. in the next year, just so she can have a good perspective and outlook on what's going on.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener. That's why at bpnradio.com, we're calling America to pray, not just to pray for spiritual awakening in America, but we are calling America to pray for other nations as well, including Haiti and different nations all around the world. So we're very, very thankful for the opportunity to be able to pray for America and other nations of the world. We're going to take a short station break. We'll be right back.
This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com on a rainy Wednesday morning. Cold. That's amazing, the weather we're having in Austin, Texas. Never seen it rain like this in September and October. A lot of flooding last night, so you need to pray for a lot of people that have been flooded out of their homes, not only, of course, in Florida and Georgia and Virginia, North and South Carolina, but in Texas now. Even in the Austin, Texas area, a lot of rivers have flooded, and so we pray for those that are in need. Good to have you listening. My doctor, Dr. Kevin Lewis, is on with me today here in the studios here at bpnradio.com. And we're going to continue to talk with him for the next few minutes. I would like to thank those of you that are helping support the Breakout Prayer Network. And we just express our gratitude to you. And if you have a donation that you'd like to make, or you'd like to become a monthly partner, all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com. Of course, BPN stands for Breakout Prayer Network. bpnradio.com. And click on the donate button. You can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card, or you can send a check to Breakout Ministries, and the address is P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. That's P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And so good to have you listening, and of course, it's great to have Dr. Kevin Lewis on with us today, and he is involved in the opioid situation. And I saw on your bio here that you treat opioid addiction. That is a major problem in this nation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the largest problems I think facing the entire country right now, as far as things that people are getting themselves in trouble with. And so at our office, what we do is we provide a way for people to that are either using illegal opiates or have become addicted or dependent, which are two different things, on opiate medications, to have a safe and controlled way to stay stable and out of withdrawal and to progress with healing and get to a point where they can get off opiates, hopefully.
And I know that this is a major subject in America. So many people's lives are being taken. I know here in the Austin area, it was on the news last night about this young man that was on prescription drugs and ran head on to members of the First Baptist Church in a neighboring city, and they said it was all because of prescription drugs. How are so many people on opioids, and how are, again, tell us how you're helping them get off of these?
Well, I think that, you know, chronic pain is a real situation and a real medical issue that people have, and trying to get to the place where you're able to control somebody's pain without any abuse of the medication going on or anything developing further, you know, gets down to a psychological question for that patient. And oftentimes doctors, we do our very, very best and screen and have the patients go through counseling and do some other things to try to pick up on it. But again, as we all know, the only people that know where any individual person's at is that person and God. And so it gets difficult from that standpoint, and then from the standpoint of all the illicit street sales of these opioid, both prescription medications and heroin, it's difficult. It's just the country's flooded with it right now, and so I think that the key is prayer, and a lot of times people get into a situation where they're, you know, using. And their whole motivation to not get off is they're scared to death to go through withdrawal. I mean, withdrawal from opiates will not kill you, but it'll make you feel like you were dead. It's very difficult. It's wrenching on the body. It is very, very difficult for people to go through. And there are a few medications that work well to help people transition off of heroin or fast-acting opiates, which are the most abused. And one of those medications has been around for a long, long time. It's called buprenorphine. And what it does at the right dose, you can stabilize somebody, keep them from having withdrawal symptoms, keep them from having cravings. And so they're able to work. They're able to quit spending excessive amounts of money on illegal substances that are not controlled. And if they're willing to put in the work and get counseling and go to meetings, oftentimes you can see these people progress off of the prescribed medication that has stabilized them and get back to a normal mentation and a normal way of life. And it's a really neat process to see when it does work. Again, whether it works or not is really up to the patient and where they're at and what kind of work they're willing to put in. It is not a miracle pill. Or a miracle drug. It is just something to keep somebody stable so that they can function in a steady state without having to go through the roller coaster.
Well, we know it's a major problem, but once again, combining prayer with what you're doing and having a prayer room, people being treated medically but also receiving prayer, I believe is an incredible combination. I also wanted to ask you about, and we do need, I know there's a lot of parents, you say, my son or my daughter's on opiates or they're on drugs or they have addictions. It's a major problem in America. That's why we're praying for another spiritual awakening. We really need some help. And, I know that you can receive help spiritually. You can also receive help medically. But I do want to ask you, before I have you to pray for today for a couple of situations. I know that you serve on the board of a True Care Pregnancy Center, and tell us what that's all about, what your role is there.
So True Care Pregnancy Center is a facility, and we also have a clinic now where we provide STD screening and counseling for pregnant women. and show them that they have many different resources other than, you know, abortion. And so mm-hmm. we're educating and loving these young women, and we're also testing them for STDs or sexually transmitted infections, and then providing free treatment for those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we educate. And for the young ladies that choose life, we for their unborn baby, we have a center that provides clothing, diapers, resources they need. There's even counseling available. And so we're coming alongside people that are scared, maybe don't know, have mm-hmm. a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just providing them with life options and showing them that there's other options out there than what maybe they've heard from their friends and mm-hmm. other people. And it's really a great thing. It's something I've been privileged to be a part of, and look forward to the growth that's happening. It's had a lot of growth, and we've got a lot of great mm-hmm. supporters, and I'd like to thank them as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We know that over 60 million babies have been aborted since the Roe v. Wade law came into effect, ruling from the Supreme Court. And we'd like to remind you that we have a lady on as a part of our team. Her name is Rhonda Kinzer, and she does biblical counseling. She had an abortion when she was 15 or 16 years old. She's available to help people walk through, storms of life, and you can contact Rhonda Kinzer, 620-482-6180. Or you can just Google Rhonda Kinzer, K-I-N-S-E-R. And then, of course, Dr. Kevin Lewis, you are also involved in the sports world. Tell us just briefly about that.
Yeah, so when I first started, there was a doctor, Dr. Richard Schramm, is an orthopedic doctor here in Austin, and he became a mentor to me and in the medicine field and a little bit in business. And I basically got real heavily involved in the sports medicine side of family medicine, and started volunteering at football games and sporting events around town. And then I started doing some of the ringside physician for the state of Texas, where, you know, they're required to have state-sanctioned and physicians to, you know, make sure, ensure the safety of the fighters, and if there's something that happens to them, they have to, you know, we'll often get called into the ring to evaluate the fighters and mm-hmm. go from there. And so we've worked some big fights. We've worked a lot of small fights. done UFC a few times as they come to town. Since my son was born, here, I've done less fights, but I'm still in contact and still look forward to doing one to two of those fights a year.
You are an amazing man. Of course, when you talk about the sports world, I love that. I used to be a sportscaster. And then, of course, working, traveling with another one of my spiritual sons, Evander Holyfield, for several years. Of course, I've always had a love for boxing since Rocky Marciano. You probably remember him.
Yeah.
And so I've followed boxing for a long time. Had an opportunity to be involved. So you are a medical doctor with many, many different talents. It's so good to have you on today, have you into my life. In just a moment, I'm going to have you to pray. Is there a way that people can contact you or reach you, or particularly people that live in the Austin, Texas area? What is your information?
Yes, our website is lewisfamilymed.com, and our office number is 512-301-6400. We are located, you can see on the website there, we're located about halfway between Driven Springs and Austin, and we're available for anything. And our whole goal there is to treat people like family and to incorporate God's love into the way we're taking care of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can attest to that. Before you go today, I'd like for you to say a prayer, maybe just mention about your church life, about your giving, about your church life, and also anything you want to say about relationships. And I want you to, I'll play a little worship music, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray for those in the medical field. Pray for those that may be considering going into medicine. It may be a doctor or a nurse or whatever it may be, and however the Holy Spirit leads you. So I'll give you the next 5 minutes, and you can talk about whatever you want to pray. And it's great to have you on today.
Thank you. Well, I just, one of the things that's dear to my heart, is, and we'll start in prayer in just a second, is I'm eager for God to move in the medical field in multiple ways, that more and more doctors actually will, that have a belief in Christ, will start to incorporate that into their practice, you know, whether that be silently with a patient, praying before they do surgery on a patient, or praying before they walk into an exam room, and that we will start to have an awakening and a realization that we are having appointments with our patients, not just our patients having appointments with us. It's a critical thought, and I'd love to see a movement in that direction, and then also incorporating prayer. I don't know how we got away from incorporating prayer in medicine, you know. It's just something that is God's put on my heart, and I see the power of it because I've seen it affect lives in our clinic. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen cancer cured and people cured. And for me, it's just an amazing thing that really needs to kind of be reincorporated into medicine, and especially people that are believers need it, and non-believers need it as well. And so it's an amazing thing. So I'd like to just start with prayer right now.
Okay.
Dear God, I just thank you for who you are and who you are to all of us, those of us that have a relationship with you and those that don't. And I just pray that you will, across the land, begin to speak to physicians that are believers or that have known you at one time, that you will come down to them and reinvigorate them for what they do, that it's not just a job, it's not just a task, it's not just a surgery, but that we can incorporate your love into our care for our patients, and really have true compassion and be invigorated to go to work every day in the midst of all the chaos in the medical field. I pray for the patients that are out there that are under the care of a physician and fighting terminal illness and chronic illness. Dear Lord, I just pray that you'll witness to them through this broadcast that you are real, you do heal, and there is hope. And I thank you for the blessings that you've given me in my life, and the opportunities that I have to be able to reach out to people and speak to people. And I pray that you'll continue to give me the strength to be a leader in my clinic, in this city and in the state, for what is right and what is noble and what is your will, number one. And we lift all these things up in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Dr. Kevin Lewis, thank you for being on today. You're a tremendous blessing, and I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and your clinic, and I'm excited about what God is doing in the prayer room. So thank you for coming, and let's keep doing what we're doing, because I know we're making a difference. So thank you for being on today here on BPNRadio.com.
Thank you. It was great. It's hard to let you go in the
Father, since we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends.
Okay, there you have a Michael W. Smith, one of my favorite songs of all times, Friends. And, you know, friends, well, if you got friends, you are a very wealthy person. And that is my friend Michael W. Smith. We love he and his wife Debbie and, of course, his whole family. One of our spiritual grandsons, Jack Mooring, and his wife, Whitney Smith Mooring. And, wow. Wonderful friends. I want to give a shout out today to one of my special friends who is a member of our Breakout Ministries board, Dr. Tom Peters from Lake Worth, Florida. And I think he may call Boynton Beach's home now. I'm not sure he's moved. But Dr. Tom Peters served for 40 years as pastor of Trinity Church International there in Lake Worth, Florida. We ministered there many, many, many times. And I met Dr. Tom Peters 1987. He's been my friend now for all of these years, over 31 years. Happy birthday, Tom Peters, there in Lake Worth, Florida. And thank you for serving with us all of these years. And what a tremendous encouragement you have been. Love you and your wife, Mary Ann. And look forward to seeing you soon. So, wow, friends. And why don't you call a friend today, acknowledge a friend, and say, thanks for being my friend. And friends are wonderful. And it takes, sometimes it can take years to build a friendship and take minutes or hours to tear it down. So be careful. Be careful with your friends. Treat them carefully with tender love and care and kindness. I'm just delighted to have you listening on bpnradio.com. Good to have my doctor on today, Dr. Kevin Lewis here in Austin, Texas, and what a blessing he is. And if you live in the area, would like to find out more about him, you can go to lewisfamilymed.com. lewisfamilymed, L-E-W-I-S-E, lewisfamilymed.com. And you know, we have different people on. I like to share my microphone with people on bpnradio.com, giving other people an opportunity to share. And of course, we have a policy that anything we talk about, we're going to pray about. If we can't pray about it, we won't talk about it. And speaking of talking and praying, don't forget 20 days from now is our midterm elections, locally, statewide, nationally. It's a very crucial time in the United States of America. I encourage every one of you to be sure, register, go vote, because you know, this is a critical election, one of the most crucial elections in the history of the United States of America. And we need to. You need to know who you're voting for. And if you have godly men and women that are running for political office, you need to be praying for them, encouraging them, and letting them know that that you are you're doing so, because they love to hear from you. I have a personal friend, a good friend that's running for governor of the state of New Mexico, and say a prayer for Steve Pierce, if you will, and all of those godly men and women that are running for political office locally, statewide, nationally, in Jesus' name. A lot of good things coming up. Delvin Kinzer, our award-winning news director, is going to be up next with the latest news. Why don't we do the news? We do the news so that you can pray about the situations that are being broadcast. And then, of course, at 11 o'clock, I'm going to lead another hour of prayer, 55 minutes, actually, a prayer, calling America to pray, and you can pray along with me. Would be great. At 11:55 today, Roy Beard will be on. Of course, this is Central Time, if you're listening live. 11:55 Central Time, Roy Beard has a word from the wall Monday through Friday, and then this is Wednesday, so today, Dr. David and Yvonne Remedios. Dr. David Remedios is a surgeon as well as a pastor. He and his wife and their congregation in Forest Hill, Louisiana, will be leading an hour of prayer from noon to 1 o'clock. And then at 1 o'clock, Callie Hargraves will be on with Women's Watch. You don't want to miss that. And then, of course, this broadcast will be replayed at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 10 o'clock here on BPN Radio, as we have broadcasting across America, around the world, 24/7. And next month, we're going to celebrate our fourth, I believe, November the 18th, our fourth anniversary of broadcasting here on BPNradio.com. Tell your friends and neighbors, if you will. Don't forget, tomorrow is Prophetic Thursday with Allison Keeber. And she hosts Prophetic Thursday. You can listen on BPNradio.com and also on Dale Gentry, Dale W. Gentry, Facebook pages. That will also, Prophetic Thursday will be broadcast live. Rhonda Kinzer is on Friday, and you don't want to miss Rhonda Kinzer. She's also on Facebook Live as well as bpnradio.com, and she'll be praying for people. I want to remind you that we have some spaces open for people to preach on Sunday, Preaching Sunday, 18 hours of continuous preaching. Just contact my son, Rick Gentry, and that's rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. If you have a prayer request, you can contact our national prayer coordinator, Cheryl Ortiz, and all you have to do is email your prayer request in at bpnprayerrequest, bpnprayerrequest@gmail.com. Got to go. Stay tuned for the news. It's been great to have you on here on bpnradio.com. Keep listening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.